I've been searching a long time. Someone exactly like you. I've been traveling all around the world, waiting for you to come through. Someone like you make it all worthwhile. Someone like you keep me satisfied. Someone exactly like you.
Van Morrison, this song goes out to my beautiful wife Danielle and to Andrew Giuliani's beautiful wife. See, he could do that himself, by the way. Andrew was kind enough to show up the other night at my book signing at the beautiful America First Warehouse. This is an amazing place that Joe the Box and his lovely wife, Tony, have put together all the way out in a Fafapa Winkle there on Concomit. It's a schlep and a half, but it is a gorgeous place. And if you're a Republican, conservative, decent American, you should go there. You really should. And Andrew showed up because he's great to me. And he spoke that night. We did an episode together. You'll watch tomorrow night on Newsmax, John Tobacco's Wise Guy show. And he's become, in all seriousness, my guy, my best buddy. Here he is. The great Andrew Giuliani. Good morning, Andrew.
Sid, good morning. I'm just glad you dedicated that song to Danielle and not to me, because we might have had some issues we would have had to discuss if that was the case.
And there are already people saying this little man crush going on. I had Steve Scalise on last hour. We've got a man crush, too, but you and I have taken it a step further. But I got to tell you, you know, your whole family is so cute. Your wife is adorable. Your little girl, Grace, is beautiful. And you guys, you show up at events, and everybody loves you. And you were great on Wednesday night, so thank you.
Of course. You know, look, John says this, and I've heard this before, that the America First Warehouse is like Disney World for those of us who believe in conservative ideas. But I think it's even better than Disney World, considering everything that's happened at Disney World over the last couple of years.
You're right.
It really is great. It really is a great gathering place. I've been out there now 4 or 5 times. Joe the Box does an amazing job. He always seems to be getting really interesting people like yourself to come on out there. And to talk to like-minded Americans that are interested in seeing New York State turn around.
Yes, it's true. And you're right, whether it's you or me or Tina Forte, Danielle checks in for Fafa de Finkel, Tina Forte or Scott Lobato was there the night we were there, and even Bannon, your friend. All these folks show up, and it's a great place, and you folks should check it out. One of the things that, you know, we discussed, Andrew, with John, that'll be on television tomorrow night, Tobacco on Newsmax, is the fentanyl coming across the border, something I talk about a lot, something John Catsimatidis talks about all the time. That's the real warfare here. Is that it looks like the Chinese basically have this is war. They are shipping tons of drugs across the border. Now they disguise it in like Skittles, candy wrappers. Do you believe, I know you're going to say this tomorrow night too, but do you believe this is actually war?
I believe it is. You know, I spent a little time, Sid, when I was in the White House on the White House Opioid Task Force. And I have to tell you, I learned so much there, but to see exactly what China is doing, how they're kind of looking at the strategy. And I know you've had Gordon Chang on many times, and I know he's been able to really detail this in a way that probably beyond what I could even detail it. But what I could just say very top line is that China is relishing in the demise of U.S.'s, the United States' younger people. And there's no better way to do that than to actually hurt people from within. And fentanyl has been this killer, and they said the other day silent killer, but you were absolutely right. Say it's not a silent killer because there are so many people that are affected by this. You know, I could tell you one of the things that I remember very, very clearly getting in the White House was for 30 years, opioid deaths had gone up. Actually, in 2019, for the first time in over 30 years, because of President Trump's policies, they actually decreased by 17%, which was, it was looking at kind of turning around the Titanic at that moment. One of the really sad things about the pandemic, and now I think these open borders, is the fact that we've hit record highs the last 2 years again with fentanyl and opioid overdose. And you're right, thinking about Halloween coming up and them hiding this in Skittles and hiding this in other candies right there, it's really extremely scary. And kids now, you don't have to go to the street to go and get your opioids. There actually are apps on your phone where you can order this just like you would order, you know, a chicken salad or something like that. You can order You can order this, and it's terribly scary. As the father of a 10-month-old daughter, obviously she's too young to use the phone at this point. But you think about what the future's like, and it scares the Jesus out.
No, it should. And then you've got the Democrats, Andrew. This is unbelievable. Kamala Harris on record: the border is secure. Then you have Karine Jean-Pierre on record blaming the Trump administration for the crisis at the border, when we know there was no crisis because President Trump was building a wall. There were no folks gathering there like they are now in massive numbers. There was no influx of deadly drugs. And yet they stand there on television and flat out lie to the American public. And these morons will still vote for Democrats.
It's complete gaslighting, right? I mean, they're saying exactly really what they're doing, right? They're blaming Trump and they're blaming conservatives for what they're doing. They did the same thing with inflation, and they did the same thing with gas prices when people can just see the numbers. And that's why I always said as a candidate, and I'll continue to say, politicians have narratives, right? And you really need to look at the data and the numbers to determine whether or not those narratives are true or whether they're fictional. And people can just see what's happened from the southern border in that perspective to have 4 million people that have really just surged into the country. Now, look, I'm a Christian, and I believe in really making sure
you're not Jewish?
I know, it seems like
no, we can't
that.
Be friends anymore. That's it.
That's it. I know. Well, the Italians and the Jews, we're like cousins, basically.
Yeah,
you know, it's the same thing. We're food, family, and guilt. You know, we do them all the same. So that's not my original joke.
Funny.
That's the guy, Adam Ferraro, who told that joke, who was great on a show, Rescue Me, and it was great. But anyway, you think about this, and it really is, it really is sad.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that show, Rescue Me. We never miss that show, me and Danielle. What is the other comedian, the Irish guy? He was a star of that show?
Dennis Leary.
Yes, he was great. Dennis Leary. That's right. We used to love that show.
The first few seasons of that show, and maybe that was, being in New York, maybe that was kind of knowing, obviously, so many people that were directly affected by September 11th. They were all directly affected, but so many people that were killed by September 11th. That show really was a great New York show, and it really dealt with so many of the issues, I think, that so many families and so many people who lost loved ones on September 11th ended up the only.
Yeah, you're right. But it was also, they found a way to make some of that stuff funny. Not that specific stuff, 9/11, but it was gritty, it was funny. Just a very, very good show, Rescue Me. Andrew Giuliani, the best, joining me here right now. So we've got this horrible Hurricane Ian, which battered the west coast of Florida. Now the Carolinas, specifically South Carolina, they're going to be in big trouble later on today. And instead of all these politicians and TV folks coming together, worrying about Florida first and the folks, what do? Take some 5 seconds. Like when somebody gets killed in a mass shooting, they talk about gun control, Democrats, in 3 seconds. Same thing here. What are they talking about right now? Climate change.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar, these two morons on The View, saying, doesn't Ron DeSantis get it now? Hurricanes? Hey, ladies, the nickname of the Miami football team, the Miami Hurricanes. This is nothing new to South Florida. What are they talking about?
And you know what? In some ways, it feels like they're rooting against Ron DeSantis, and they're rooting for this hurricane to be bigger, so then that way they can point to DeSantis and say, "See, you're a science denier, and you're this, and you're that," and they want to hurt his political ambitions. They don't mind if the death count goes up or increases, as long as they politically can get their gotcha moments, if you will. To me, I'm looking at the response that it seems like he's doing a very good job. I know he ended up declaring a state of emergency for the state of Florida before last weekend. So while the storm was still forming in the Atlantic and into the Gulf there. And I think he's handling it well here. I think it's just one of these storms that, here's one of the things, too, that I hear a lot did when they talk about climate change. They try to point to specifically the fact that there's more property damage now than there's ever been. Well, if people go back and look, we are building more homes on the water than ever before.
That's right.
Look back 30, 40, 50 years, There was a little bit more scarce in terms of all the homes that were actually right on the water. So now, of course, if there is going to be a hurricane, let's say it's of the same power and does the same destruction, it's going to do that much more in terms of property damage from a dollar's perspective, because it's going to take that much more to rebuild there. But that's something that never ends up getting discussed. But yeah, look, hurricanes have been hitting Florida since before it's been known as the state of Florida. This is something that's that I think is one of these things where, again, Democrats are looking for an overall narrative. They're trying to push this idea on us instead of actually just saying, hey, what can we do to actually make sure we help our brothers and sisters in Florida, in South Carolina?
The king of all Democrats, Joe Biden, Andrew Giuliani, has had a lot of really embarrassing moments, malaprops left and right. Using the wrong words at the wrong time.
By the way, did I hear Abe Lincoln on the line? Just want to make sure.
Right. And physical stuff, too. Falling up the stairs, falling down the stairs. But what he did a couple of days ago has to be the most embarrassing moment, not just for Joe Biden, but it is possible that it's the most embarrassing moment in the history of the presidency. So he's at a speech, making a speech there, you know, and this politician, nice lady, Indiana politician, was killed tragically in a car crash only a month ago, not 10 years ago, not 20 years ago. And yet Joe Biden is looking for her in the crowd. If you missed it, it sounded like this.
I want to thank all of you here, for including bipartisan elected officials like Representative Governor, Senator Braun, Senator Booker, Representative Jackie, are you here?
No.
Where's Jackie?
She's not there. She's dead.
She was supposed to be here.
She was supposed to be there, yes, but she's dead. We're at the point now where if this guy is not pulled from that position, Andrew, when's it going to happen?
You know, but the scary thing, Sid, is who's next? Who's in the bullpen to come out? It's Kamala Harris. So it's almost like you've got a guy who, you know, completely is, I don't know, seeing dead people or has completely forgot about it right there. And then if you listen to the White House press secretary's response there, and actually this is one of the few times during the Biden administration where the liberal media actually was asking for real answers from Jean-Pierre or Psaki back when she was press secretary. And she kept giving non-answers. She kept on saying that, you know, Biden was just acknowledging her commitment to health, I think it was. I think it was a health conference there. Well, it was obvious in listening to that he wasn't, that he was looking for her. Just admit the mistake and say President Biden forgot that she had passed away. I mean, I guess that's going to, you know, end up having a whole other set of stories right there. But at least a little bit of truth in some of these moments would probably help the American people say, you know, the guy's 78 years old. Maybe I don't want him running again, but I can at least appreciate the fact that he's being honest with Americans. Well, he's not being honest. No. His administration's not being honest. And the sad thing is, when you look at what they're doing to conservatives, think about what they did with President Trump year after year. And remember, they ended up talking about the 25th Amendment, that he was not fit for office. At one point, they actually had him release one of these tests to show that he was actually competent enough to be able to do the job. I don't think Joe Biden could actually pass that test.
No way.
If he ended up doing it.
You're 100% right.
That they gave him early on. But, I mean, he's totally not aware to be able to do this. And you think about Biden sitting down right now with a Putin or with a Zelensky and trying to figure out what's going on in Ukraine, in Russia, and utilizing leverage. I would trust probably a fifth grader better than Biden actually do this.
No, it's true. There's two things at play with Biden. Ping is even worse in China, but Kim Jong in North Korea, they're starting to get gutty again. Iran, too. Not only is he, like you're talking about, dementia and all these physical issues, but he's compromised, too, because he's got a kid and his brother making a ton of money from all these countries. So it's time to evoke the 25th Amendment for him. Never the case with Donald Trump. So on the way out, the Giulianis are the New York's biggest Yankee fans. We know that. So Judge comes home. Orioles in the Bronx tonight. He's now tied with Roger Maris at 61 home runs. Does Andrew Giuliani watch every at-bat the next seven games in Judge's race to be number one?
I will definitely be tuning in, and it would be awesome to see Judge hit this thing at Yankee Stadium. I think they have three or four more games.
They have three more at Yankee Stadium, three against the Orioles at the stadium, the last four games in Texas against the Rangers.
So, I mean, it would just be absolutely awesome to see Judge do this at Yankee Stadium. I mean, it would I think about Maris doing this in game 163 at Yankee Stadium. It would be spectacular. And let's have one of those weekends like we had 2 weekends ago, where you had the Yankees, the Mets, the Jets, and the Giants actually win on the same weekend. That would be great to be able to do that again.
Yeah.
I guess a Judge home run at this point would probably be even better than a Yankee win, considering the Yankees have locked it up at this point. But yes, it would be absolutely awesome. I mean, what an amazing story for this guy to turn down $200-something million, bet on himself, and now the guy's going to, who knows, make $500 million.
Yep.
Over the course of the offseason. But, I mean, it seems like he's one of these guys who certainly spends his time on the community. And, you know, there's a kind of a Jeter quality to him, Sid. You know, there's just this kind of quiet aura of leadership that seems to that Judge seems to project that's really impressive, that as a Yankee fan and a New Yorker, you know, you gotta respect.
I agree. By the way, that Sunday you're talking about, when the Mets, the Yankees, the Jets, and Giants all won the Sunday previous to the last, that was the first time in 13 years. Got to date all the way back to 2009, when all four teams won the same day in the fall here in New York. Andrew, as always, you're great. Not good, great. It was great seeing you Wednesday. I'll watch you with me on television tomorrow night on Newsmax. And thank you for stopping by this morning. Really terrific stuff.
Well, Sid, thank you as always, and have an absolute great weekend. Let's get all those teams to win. And make sure, for those of you guys who haven't gone out there, make sure you go get Citizens United. It's a great book. I've read through it now. I'm working on it the second time. I love reading it. Grace loves chewing on the book. It's top notch.
And you did a great job introducing the book on TV, which folks will see coming up tomorrow night. Thank you, Andrew. You're the absolute best. Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. There he is, Andrew Giuliani. What a great family, Rudy. Wife Z, daughter Grace, love those folks. All righty, that is 3 great hours. Frank Morano, Congressman Steve Scalise out of the great state of Louisiana, and Andrew Giuliani. We're not done. We're going to play Beat Sid and discuss more news of the day. The fourth and final hour of today's program and the final hour of the week. Nielsen rated number one news talk show in New York and the self-proclaimed best talk show in the country. We are Bernie and Sid. I'm Sid, and I'll be back right after this.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.